one dreams of playing a World Cup, every player. And I say the same thing for broadcasters and journalists. Everyone wishes they could attend the World Cup, and I'm going to be there calling two games today. So there's definitely no complaining, and I'm ready for the challenge this time around.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yeah. Now here's Darren and Marty.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
All right, tower number three, it's Extra 1360. We are just a couple of weekends away from the start of college football. It's right around the corner. We got a press release from ESPN the other day. They were announcing all of their broadcast teams, and it was great to see Kirk Morrison. He'll be working with Beth Mowins. They're going to be paired up together, and then they got down to the radio portion, and I was thrilled to see Ian Fitzsimmons there, that Ian Fitzsimmons will be traveling around. He'll be with the A crew for ESPN Radio upcoming this fall for the college football season, which, as mentioned, is as we're just two weekends out, and it's starting the weekend of the 26th, 27th, somewhere around that range. Now, we don't have Fitzy's song. He's going to yell about this here in a second. He's going to be like, where's my damn song? But we've made a change. We have a different producer, technical director. We've gone from Jim to Jonathan. So we just have to reset this whole thing because Jim Russell just trashed the whole thing on his way out the door, I guess. But we're not sure what the name of the song was. I don't listen to country. Marty doesn't. I mean, if it's not Jimmy Buffett, she doesn't know. So Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN is here. He's joining us on Extra 1360. So go ahead, tell us. I know we don't have your song, but don't remember what the song is.
You guys, it's like Pavlov's dog for all your diehards.
I know.
You either love or hate my sorry redneck butt. So Marty had a great intro years ago. Right, had me like with Foghorn Leghorn, which I don't think I sounded. Bobby Bowden sounded like Foghorn Leghorn. I don't think we're off by the way. Saratoga. You might hear a racing meltdown. By the way, if a 1, 6, 7, 8 horse is finishing in any form and any order, you're going to hear me go nuts. Because
hold on a second. Time out. You're in Saratoga right now, or you're watching races from Saratoga?
No, I'm watching racing. Okay. I'm in my studio, but I'm watching racing.
Can we put on TVG just so we can watch with Fitzy? So we'll just see what happens here.
FS2 right now. FS2. Man.
FS2. Okay.
I think the 6 is up the track. That's a long shot. Flavian Pratt is a Hall of Fame jockey. I mean, he must have taken that mount for a favor for a friend. I don't know why, but I bet him anyway, just because he's one of the best jockeys out there. But anyway, 1, 7, 8 is what we're looking for now, Coach.
1, 7, 8.
Pat's up. He's up the track. But anyway, she had a remarkable intro, and that's gone. Done. And so I said, hey, man, if the intro, when you moved over here to 1360, I went, look, it's a song by Cadillac 3 called It's All About the South. And done. That's it. You know, it'll be perfect for you. So there you go. Cadillac 3, okay. It's All About the South. That's the song.
All right. Good. We'll have that. Next time you're on the show, if there is a next time, if you don't strike it rich here, by the way, none of these horses that you – it's a 4-3.
Yeah, no, we got a 4. The 4 came in, man. That's why you hear me screaming. 4-3. Yeah, we're done. We're cooked.
So what did you have?
I had 1, 6, 7, 8. So let me tell you.
Oh, wait. The 8 just crossed.
That would be $6 flushed right down the toilet. Gone.
I'm so glad we could share this moment with our audience.
You could have taken $6 bills, right, and just using a Charmin toilet paper on race 8 at Saratoga. Oh my god, that was awful.
Where'd you get that tip?
It wasn't a tip, man. I bet jockeys and trainers and right now in this day at Saratoga, when you're looking at a Thursday and people who don't know, I grew up on a thoroughbred horse farm in Folsom, Louisiana. I was mucking stalls at the age of 3, and there, no hired hands. My mom, Mama Fitz, will tell you, having 4 boys saved her from hiring 4 farmhands. So we were changing out fence posts, mucking stalls, worming weanlings, yearlings, you name it, worming cattle. I mean, it was a beatdown and one of the greatest ways to learn the value of a dollar. And the way of life was growing up on a horse farm. But you grew up on a horse farm, man. A horse race is in your blood. 4-3-8 is what we had, dude. I wasn't even close, Coach.
Not even close.
That was pathetic. That was awful. But anywho, college football is right around the corner. You're talking about announcing teams. And, buddy, hey, football, from now on, starting tonight until, let this sink in, starting tonight until February, every weekend you are going to have football on your televisions. Hallelujah.
Listen. Tonight, you're not selling me on tonight. You're not selling me on this weekend. You want to sell me on August 26th and 27th? I'm there. Don't give me tonight and this weekend, though. It's bad.
What are you, a communist? I mean, I don't care if it's preseason football. See, hold on a minute. Darren is like Randy Galloway. Randy Galloway, and Darren and Marty both know Randy.
Yep, Randy.
So Randy is awesome. But Randy is one of those guys, a Hall of Fame baseball voter, and also a brilliant football mind. Don't ever tell him I told you that. Now retired, long-time sports columnist with the Dallas Morning News, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and I was his co-host for many, many years at ESPN Dallas. Randy's one of those guys, like Darren, that will tell you, I'm not watching preseason damn football. That's how Randy talks. Darren is going to go northeast, right? Like, I'm not going to watch preseason of football. Why? Because they think it's beneath them. But I promise you, both of those SOBs will be watching preseason football tonight. Mm-mm. There's no doubt in my mind. You can say all you want that you're not going to, but I know you, Darren. I've known you for 25 years. I know that you will be watching football this evening, even though you're going to be one of those guys. It's beneath me to watch preseason football.
There's other things to do. I have stand-up paddleboarding to get to. There's other activities that I would like to enjoy other than watching the freaking Patriots. Who are they playing? The Bills? Giants.
Ugh. The Giants.
Why would anybody watch that? Why?
Because it's football.
Come on, man. That's barely football. None of those people matter.
Are you American?
None of those people matter.
Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley are starting tonight.
Patriots, okay.
By the way, the Patriots are making a mistake, in my opinion, not playing Mac Jones tonight. He's got a new voice in his ear. Mm. Put him out there for a couple series. But anyway. You're lying. You can paddleboard anytime you want. There's football on your TV, dude. You will be watching.
Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN, joining us on Extra 1360. By the way, you're welcome for that amazing ratings bump the other night on your national show. I was getting all sorts of tweets and texts from people that were listening to that. I'm sure that was the highest rated segment you've had in quite some time.
By the way, you made an impression, man. Some of the producers are like, why don't we have this guy at least working weekends for us? He's West Coast. You know what I mean? Come on. So, Darren, you may have scored a little side piece there.
All right. Well, listen, I'm always available. You know what it's like in this business. You got to make yourself available.
Hey,
a little
coach,
side piece.
Don't I know it?
No, we all know it. Side piece. All right. Well, we'll see. Then they could have somebody that can come on and talk about nothing but like baseball and soccer. I'm sure they're really into that.
Hold on a minute. To your bride and anybody listening, side piece meaning alternative radio gig.
All right. Help me plan a college football trip for this year. It's that time where I'm going to start looking into flights and I want to go to some place that I've never been before. I've been to Austin. I've been to Notre Dame. Give me a place that you'll travel to. I've been up and down the West Coast, although Washington is high up on my list. Give me a great college football destination for somebody who loves the sport, would love to travel around and experience something that they haven't seen before.
Oh, man, you don't have enough time right now. By the way, Washington is a hidden gem. I mean, it's right there on the lake. They have sailgating, which is to the nth degree. I actually did a pregame hit from a boat of a, and I can't remember the guy's name, he's an offensive lineman who played on the Huskies national championship team. I mean, I just walked up to a random boat and happened to walk into a natty champ, right, from the Huskies. I mean, you can't plan that stuff. And it was amazing. I mean, going to Washington in that scene and where the design of the stadium is it was literally built so that the echoes of the crowd reverb off of the roof and into the visiting team's bench. You can't make that up, man. Mm. I mean, it is remarkable. So you're in on Husky Stadium. That's a great one you just pointed out. But look, when LSU's good,
yeah,
and Death Valley's rocking, there is nothing, and I do mean nothing, like going to an LSU game at the Red Stick, and when they crank up Colin Baton Rouge 45 minutes before kick, and that's a signal to all the tailgates, hey, 45 minutes, get your butts in here. And the sea of people that come And it's like, oh, Pavlov's dog, right? And they all come rushing into the stadium. When it's a great game and LSU's good, and Alabama-LSU this year, Alabama's at LSU, dinner at Ruffino's the night before, I mean, lunch at Pirine's if it's a night game, coach, it doesn't get any better. I mean, I promise you. And those two restaurants, Google the menu and get back to me. It is second to none. So you're on the West Coast, yeah, Husky Stadium is amazing. But if you're ever, if you had one trip and one to make and one only, when LSU's rolling, man, there's nothing like going to Baton Rouge at night, especially against Bama. Now, Brian Kelly, by the way, I think we'll finish in the top 25 this year. But are they beating Bama? No. But will they be a 6-7 win team at that point? Yeah, they got a shot because there's talent there. I mean, a lot of talent. So, especially from the transfer portal, they have got 10 transfers that are probably going to start at LSU. And they're one of those teams that are out of the top 25, but I think it'd be in the top 15 by the time the season ends.
Let me throw two others at you, just because for me, on the couch, watching games on television, it looks appealing. It's the kind of places that I'd go, I'd like to be there. One would be Ole Miss. The other one would be Rice-Eccles for Utah. I know you used to live there, so you probably are going to tell me about it with greater detail. But those two in particular, for me, are high up on the list of things I'd like to go see.
The Grove, that's where tailgating began.
Right, the Grove, right at Ole Miss.
Yeah, people don't know that. Tailgating literally, not joking, it literally began at Ole Miss, where when gas was like 10 cents a gallon, gotta let that sink in. And, you know, people would back their station wagons up and just start sitting on the back of their station wagons and bringing their cold beer, their homemade moonshine, and next thing you know, it was, here's a cheese platter, and they're smoking a pig, and it just grew and grew and grew. That's where tailgating literally began. And I didn't know this, by the way, until I was at SEC Media Days, Darren, and I was touring at the College Football Hall of Fame. And they have a tailgating section in the College Football Hall of Fame Museum. And that's when I read that that's where tailgating began, literally at the Grove. And the scene there, if look, I don't want to go, I don't want to sound like a pig, Marty, but I'm just going to say this. If you're into sundresses, cowboy boots, and Chanel number 5 barbecue and bourbon, that's your spot. Does that work?
Chanel number 5 barbecue
Chanel
and bourbon.
Chanel number 5, huh?
Barbecue and bourbon.
Yeah.
That's the fragrance of young women.
You get, those are the smells that you get walking around the Grove, right? Maybe fresh cut peaches are in there somewhere also. I mean, I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. Rice-Eccles, best view from a press box you're going to find in college football, right along the Wasatch Front. Go up to Park City, hit No Name Saloon, drink your face off, you know, go eat at Flanagan's, and then, man, take in just an unbelievable scene. The student section is as good as any in the country. And what Kyle Whittingham has done there over 18 years is the most underrated accomplishment in college football. He's turned down not one but two NFL jobs. He ain't leaving. You can come try and get him. It's not going to happen. But I'm telling you, that scene there, when they're rolling, and they're rolling right now again, and they'll be a preseason top 10, they'll be in the hunt for a college football playoff. And he hates me saying that, but I'm telling you, you're right. That's a great call. Rice-Eccles, man, is as good as it gets. It's awesome.
Ian Fitzsimmons, ESPN, joining us on Extra 1360. Nick Saban said recently, it might have been at SEC Media Days, that last year they played in the national championship game. Their quarterback won a Heisman Trophy. He called it a rebuilding year.
He's right.
what are we expecting out of Alabama if that was a rebuilding year?
It was. I'm not kidding. they exceeded even his expectations, and his expectation every year is to win a national championship. So when you look at what they were supposed to have coming back this year, it should have been what, like 8 starters on offense, you know, 7 on defense. I mean, okay, so it's, you know, 7 on offense and 6 on defense. But they also have the best player in college football in Will Anderson. And the Heisman Trophy is a farce. Let me just get that out there right now. Because if it truly were to go to the best player in college football, Orlando Pace would have a Heisman Trophy, right? Warren Sapp would have a Heisman Trophy. You know, and Will Anderson last year, would have been in New York over Aiden Hutchinson. And that's not a shot at Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan. He had a phenomenal year. But what Will Anderson did as an edge rusher was his numbers were bigger and the competition was grander. And Will Anderson's back this year. Now, when I asked him at SEC Media Days, by the way, I said, have you thought about just not playing this year? Because there's been that conversation of you just sit out and then go to the NFL draft, right? He looked at me like I was an alien. He goes, no. Hell no. Absolutely not. One, my mom and dad would beat the ever-loving snot out of me. And family's everything to this young man. He's as grounded of a superstar as I've ever been around. And again, the best player in college football. You want a dark horse, you know, Heisman winner? You know, he's got to be 1,000 to 1 right now, maybe more. Put $10 down. You know, because if he hits it, you're going to get a remarkable return. But you have Bryce Young on that team. You have Gibbs, the running back transfer, who Will Anderson told me, you want a name to remember that nobody's talking about that will be a household name come November? The transfer running back from Georgia Tech, Gibbs, when he's got Will Anderson's attention, Smitty, get ready. So Alabama's loaded, dude. I mean, just freakishly loaded. Dallas on the other side of Will Anderson. I mean, it's stupid. You know, one of the best safeties in college football that looks like a linebacker, you know, runs like a corner. I mean, it's naughty. It's absolutely not. Losing J.J. Earl for 6 weeks is going to hurt, but they're loaded, and they're right now, and they should be the number one team coming into the season.
Naughty. I like that. I'll give you Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia to win the national championship or the rest of the field?
Oh, that's a great question, dude, because you know me, man. I love taking the field. If Bryce Young goes down, man, who knows, right? I mean, they always have another one, but that's tough. That really is. I would probably
say – All right, let me rephrase it. If I took those three out, make a case for somebody else winning a national championship.
Whew.
See, this is why I get side piece weekend action.
Yeah, this is hard, dude. Because they're clear cut. They really are. Clemson's better. Clemson arguably has the best defensive front in
college
football. Top five
better? Top five? That surprised me.
What's that?
Top five better, though? I don't know, man. That seemed high for me.
No, they're up there, dude. They really are. Utah doesn't have the depth to run with them. One game, maybe. I'd take those three, dude. I really would. Mm. You give me those three versus the rest of the country, I'll take it. Yeah, no, I can't bet against it. And I'm sure there's a place you can actually place that wager, and I might go look for it because I think that was a phenomenal question. And, yeah, I would probably take one of those three because Ohio State is loaded. And when I say loaded, Trevion Henderson is another dark horse Heisman guy. You know, if you get long, long odds, put $10 down on the running back from Ohio State. I mean, he's just a freak.
The running back, not the wide receiver? The wide receiver's the best player.
No, look, man, and again, I know you – look, and go to Georgia also, dude. Look, what they have coming back, Jalen Carter on the defensive line is better than anybody who was drafted last year by Georgia to the National Football League. Let that sink in. Jalen Carter is better than every first-round draft pick. What, they have four?
Mm-hmm.
He's better. Nolan Smith at linebacker, now calling signals, is as good, if not better, than N'Kobe Dean. I mean, it's crazy, man, how Ohio State, Alabama, you know, Georgia, they don't – a rebuild, right? Again, rebuild. A rebuild.
Championship
them,
game.
Is finishing second, third, or fourth.
What's your first game of the year? Do you have your first assignment?
Oregon, Georgia, Bubba on Saturday, and then on the 4th, I go straight from Mercedes-Benz, catch a flight down over to New Orleans, and I've got Florida State, LSU, back-to-back, dude, Saturday, Sunday. I can't wait.
All right, I mentioned we have a new producer here. His name is Jonathan. He went to Oregon, and he called all the Oregon.
I nicknamed him something, right? I can't remember his nickname.
No, I think that was Tim.
No, he did.
Oh, he did?
It's on Twitter somewhere.
Okay. Well, I don't remember what it was, but once you said that you're going to Oregon and Florida, his ears perked up. He's like, oh, or Oregon and Georgia.
Georgia.
His ears perked up. I was thinking Utah and Florida. What did you want to say?
First of all, Fitz, I used to drive to high school listening to you in the morning, so it's dope to have you on the show.
He's 25 years old, by the way. He's 25. That's how long you and I have known each other.
Second of all, I contend that Dan Lanning is in the best possible position as a coach on the opposite side of Georgia to beat Georgia. I don't know if he has the tools to do it. How do you feel about Oregon's chances, given that Lanning came from Georgia in this game?
Well, they've got two of the most underrated linebackers in college football. Noah Sewell is just, I mean, and he's unfairly, I want to emphasize this, he's unfairly being compared to Micah Parsons. I mean, come on, man. Don't do that to the young man. Just let him be. It's Penny Sewell's younger brother. You know, his brother Nephi is at Utah. They're a remarkably athletic family. He is just unbelievable. Flo at the other linebacker is that spot is, I mean, they're so good. They really are. Defensively, that front seven is extraordinarily underrated. The biggest question mark Oregon has is a quarterback. Can Bo Nix, coming over from Auburn, get out from his dad's shadow and all the negativity that surrounded Auburn and shine there if he wins the job at Oregon? Because he knows, obviously, Georgia very well. Lanning knows Georgia very well. But when you're going all the way across the country, right, 3:30 Eastern kick, and it's essentially going to be a home game for Georgia, man, that's almost a scheduled loss for Oregon. But it'll be a great learning experience.
Great resume builder.
Yeah. I mean, just keep it close and go back, learn from it, because you're not going to play, in my opinion, and I don't have Oregon's schedule in front of me as far as non-conference. I think it's easily their toughest non-conference game. They're going to learn from it and be better. I mean, but I talked to Kirby Smart about facing Lanning again. He goes, man, too much is made of that whole chess match thing. And I agree with him. I really do. I mean, Lanning knows tendencies of players and personnel, right? But when it comes to, well, he thinks I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this instead. No, I mean, all of that is, I agree with Kirby Smart. That's so overblown. Tendencies that you know as a coach from your guys, those are things that you can give to your O-line, you know, quarterback like Bo Nix and whatnot. But other than that, man, it's going to be the toughest game Oregon's got, non-conference, by far, bar none, not even close. Again, I don't have a schedule in front of me. But they'll be better for it, I promise you. But that's a scheduled home game, essentially, for Georgia. It's a lot like Auburn and Washington. Remember that, Smitty, a few years ago? And Auburn had an hour-and-a-half bus ride. Yeah. Washington had to go all the way across the country.
Yeah.
And Chris Peterson even told me, you know, look, I knew what we were getting into. It was about getting our team calloused. Now, I love that term he used, calloused, right? That's what Lanning is going to do with his team this year.
Yeah, it's very brave of Georgia to drive 50 miles down the road to play that one outside of their home stadium. It's very brave. They're really taking a huge risk in this one. All right, Ian Fitz, we got a boogie.
Hey, man, always enjoy. Hey, by the Aztecs, man, Patrick McMorris, underrated player in college football, man. I love the Aztec backer there at San Diego State. Let's build in that 12-win season. Let's go. By the way, give me a couple horses. Hey, I got another race coming up, Smitty. Really quickly, 1 through 10. Give me two numbers.
I'm looking at the odds right now. We still have it on. I'm going to give you, Marty, you pick one. Just pick any one
24.
Of those. No, she doesn't understand the way this works.
Good Lord, woman, 1 through 10, and the 3
one
is
through,
scratched.
So, the 11 and the 12 scratched, the 3 is scratched.
Okay, 5 and 8.
She wants the 5 and the 8.
Is she on pain pills because of that broken leg she got?
Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. She sent me a picture. Nasty. I'm proud of her.
All right. Good luck with the 5 and the 8. You got a 24-1 shot and a 9-1 shot. Sounds like a winner to me.
You did that on purpose, but I'm going to bet it, and if it hits, you don't get a dime. See you.
Later. Ian Fitz, everybody.